Hi, I'm Katie, compulsive overeater. So grateful to be here today. Thank you, Elizabeth, so much for inviting me and hearing my share on the Light a Candle podcast. That's how this introduction happened. And by the gift of Zoom land, I've made it all the way to St. Louis today. So thank you very much for having me. And a perfect topic to talk on, gratitude. I have so much gratitude for this program. So I'll just give my stats to kick us off. Yesterday was my OA birthday. So I just celebrated 4 years of continuous abstinence. Thank you so much. And man, it's such a gift. My abstinence is defined as no binging, 3 meals a day with 2 optional snacks, no damage control, AKA beating myself up the next day if I overeat. And I also don't order delivery food when I'm by myself anymore. So I can get into all the nitty gritty of that. But I, over the last 4 years, I've gotten a new job. I've moved into my own place. I'm able to be self-supporting. And recently, life has gotten so much bigger that I had the realization there's no way pre-programmed me could have ever handled this big, beautiful life that I've been given today because I was not resourced. I did not have the support system and the spiritual richness that I do have in my life today that allows me to show up for this big life. I do a lot of service, and that has really kept me in the middle of the herd, especially during the pandemic. Man, if there ever was a time for me to say F it and go off the wagon, this past 18 months certainly was it. And especially with my whole thing with delivery food, that was like one of my like really ritualistic behaviors when I was deep in my disease, that I would order, there's all the different delivery platforms, and I would figure out who was doing what deals whenever I would get a notification that would say like free delivery if you order $30 or more worth of food. And I would say, oh yeah, I'll get dinner for tonight and lunch for tomorrow. When it came, I would eat everything. There was no way I was going to save leftovers for the next day. Once the food was in front of me, I dove in. And I liken it to that the intro on HBO where it's like, that was food for me. Like the close the blinds, get the food, put on a show and just numb out. And for a while it worked until it didn't, until I got to the highest weight that I was or that I had ever gotten to. It was right after college, actually. And looking back on my graduation photos is like sad, but I also have a lot of compassion now for my younger self. Because seeing how large I was and how big I was, especially in the gown and stuff, was really difficult to see myself in photos. Since then, I've released around 100 pounds. I might have put on a little bit more during the pandemic. I don't know because I don't weigh myself anymore, but I'm for sure in a smaller, healthier body than I was back then. And it really has been the fact that this program is just all-encompassing. If it was simply a diet or a weight loss club, I would have been gone a long time ago. It's the fact that it was a full lifestyle change that I think was what helped it become sustainable for me. The community aspect really was what kept me coming back in the beginning. I did not want to be a member of something called Overeaters Anonymous. I was very embarrassed by the name. I was hoping that I would come in and be like, oh, I don't have it as bad as these people and leave. But the exact opposite happened. When I came in, I heard my story and I heard even those who struggled with the opposite problem as me, like with anorexia and restricting, I still understood the core of what they were describing of wanting to control when their life felt chaotic, and also scarcity as well. Growing up, it's not that I never went hungry as a kid. Like my parents weren't rich, but they didn't starve me. So I don't know where the scarcity mindset came from, but it for sure has shown up in a lot of areas of my life, even with like online shopping and with dating and stuff, that scarcity, that fear of I'm not going to get enough, or I'm not going to get my share. And so I need to hoard and hold on to things. And so that manifested into sneaking snacks late at night and bringing them into my bedroom. My mom would try to ration my Halloween candy and I'd find where she hid it and take it back because that was mine and I earned it. I'm the type of compulsive overeater that if shampoo is on sale, I'll buy 9 bottles. And that is me. I like to feel prepared. I like to have stuff. That stuff makes me feel safe. Today, that's not my story. I don't need to build up a wall of excess weight in between me and my higher power, or in between me and people around me, my loved ones. Honestly, out of this whole thing, weight loss aside, friendships aside, all of that is the fact that the relationship with my mother has gotten so much better. I noticed a huge shift. Because growing up, she was pretty awful to me. Like I can objectively say she was pretty terrible as far as how she expressed her concern for my weight. I'll say it that way, but she said it in a lot of mean ways. And for a while, when I would tell my story, I would repeat like the certain phrases that she would say to me that are still so ingrained in my head. But because this is a topic of gratitude, I'll leave it up to your imagination. She was mean to me about my weight. I'll just leave it at that. And I resented her for a really long time. And I blamed her for pretty much every bad thing that happened in my life. I blamed her for the fact that I didn't have a boyfriend and had such terrible self-esteem. I blamed her for my eating disorder itself. I blamed her for if I didn't get the job that I wanted. Again, goes back to that self-esteem thing. And I noticed a shift happen after the first time that I worked step four. I noticed things got better between us. And because she was obviously on my fourth step and working through that resentment and getting to the root of what was underneath that. And then for sure, after I made my amends to her in step nine, that was like one of the most beautiful experiences of my life. I was in a meditation and it was a guided meditation. And the voice said to visualize one of your parents in front of you and think about the smell, like what their cologne or their perfume smells like. Think about what it feels like to have their skin against your skin, holding your hand. And I was sobbing. And when I came out of that meditation, it was clear to me. It's like, now is the time to call my mom and make that amends. And it was so beautiful because for such a long time, I didn't see my part in it. I just saw myself as the victim. And while I can still see that, yes, I was a child and I didn't deserve to be spoken to that way or treated that way, I didn't do much to help mend the situation either. Like I purposely kept things from her and was, you know, secretive around her because I was like, she doesn't get to know this part of me. She's so awful to me. And to be able to call her and say, I'm sorry for blaming you. And I'm sorry for being a daddy's girl all the time and just always reverting to my dad and never really being close to her. And now like our relationship is so much better. She beat breast cancer over the last couple of years, and I was able to support her throughout that whole process without any resentment. And it just felt like so good to know that I was doing it like from my heart and not out of obligation or out of appearances or what other people will think, because she cared so much about what other people thought. And I think there is still a part that she still does. Yeah, this program really changes lives, is what all that to say is that it helps heal relationships. And I feel like I am showing up as the best version of myself today. And it has taught me how to be a woman of integrity. One of the biggest things that I've learned out of this recovery is what it means to say you're going to do something and then actually do it. Because I was the queen of Monday is when I'm going to start. I'm never going to do this again. Every time that I would binge, I would say, I'm never going to hurt myself like this again. And sure enough, Monday would come and I might get back on the wagon, but then Tuesday I would fall back off. And now it has helped me build confidence in myself because now I can trust myself that when I say I'm going to do something, I actually follow through. And if I can't, like if something genuinely comes up that is preventing me from following through with a service commitment, let's say, I find coverage, I step up and take responsibility and I show up. And the service that I mentioned, I'll talk a little bit about that. So what is funny about my higher power is that whenever I ask, when I'm working step seven and I'm asking God to remove a particular defect of character, usually I will be presented with an opportunity like right away. Oh, okay. You want to be more patient? Here's an opportunity for you to be patient. And it's so funny, like when those little God winks, that's what I like to call it. It's like God being like, I see you, I hear you. I was working step seven. This was in February of 2020. So right before everything happened, and I was working on being patient, and this opportunity presented itself to join the Los Angeles board and to serve as the communications chair. And I said, okay, yeah. And initially it was only going to be like working on, I'm a graphic designer in the real world, fake world. This is the real world. I was going to be working on the monthly newsletter. And I was like, sure, that's easy enough. Like I can do a once a month newsletter, no problem. And then updating the website. And I was like, yeah, I can do that. And then everything happened and it became, I was the youngest person on the board and I was the only one who knew how to use Zoom. So it was like very apparent that this was a good opportunity to step up and be of service. And we have over 60 meetings a week in Los Angeles that share over three different Zoom accounts and stuff. So it was a lot to get set up. But knowing, like seeing the impact, I have a couple fellows that I call regularly that I've never met in person, but like they got abstinent over Zoom this year. And that is so beautiful to me to know that I had a part in that. And we all had a part in that. Even just you being here on this meeting today is you being of service, because if you weren't here, we wouldn't have a meeting. And so even if you're just listening or whatever, you being here and claiming space is helping so many other people. And all over the world, people are zooming in from all over. And that's one thing that I think will stick around. I'm sure like meetings will definitely go back to in-person, but I think there will be some that will stay online. And I think great. I think that is, it's like the more the merrier. And I love the fact that I live in Los Angeles, which is where OA was founded. And fun fact, I have a fellow friend who has been in program for a really long time. And so she knew the founder, Roseanne, and she said that it was originally going to be called Gluttons Anonymous. And I was like, oh my God, if I thought OA was bad, I'm so glad it's not called Gluttons Anonymous. I don't know if it stuck around if that was the name. But yeah, the fact that like I am in the heart, like the homeland where like it all got started. How lucky. I don't know how I got so lucky that recovery is so strong in this city. And I've made really good friends. And I hear stories about people like when, for example, like they just couldn't open their mail, like their life was in such disarray, like when they were trying to get abstinent and they had a fellow come over and help them open their mail. For me, that was somewhat recently, actually, within the last 6 months or so, I shared about like how I'm just having a hard time dressing myself these days because I got used to wearing yoga pants all day for 18 months. And now that things are happening and I have to wear a dress for a wedding, I'm like, I don't know what to wear. I still feel a little bit like disconnected from my body at times and not really knowing what looks good because I've been at so many different sizes that like my mind still sometimes thinks I'm that bigger girl and I still reach for the double XL, even though I'm not that big anymore. And I shared about that on a meeting and a fellow who's really into fashion, she was like, I love shopping. So if you want to go shopping, like I'll take you shopping. And we went to the mall together and she picked out different outfits for me that I never would have chosen for myself. And she really like that service, I will never forget that kindness. That really meant so much to me because I had had so many meltdowns in dressing rooms. And gosh, the body dysmorphia is still so real. Like I can for sure say that I feel the healthiest that I've ever been. I can for sure still have gratitude for how strong my body is internally and all of the like amazing miracles that are happening without me even doing anything, my heart beating, my stomach digesting, like everything. But I still have a hard time sometimes in the mirror. Like that is still something that I'm asking for God's help with, loving the way that I look. I can appreciate the way that my body works, but I'm working on it. And I know it'll come because I hear the promises. I hear you guys talk about that there was a shift after a certain time. And also for what it's worth, our bodies fluctuate. Right now, I might be in like a little bit bigger body than I was before the pandemic, but hey, I survived. The fact that we all are here and alive after the last 18 months, however long it's been. I keep saying 18 months. I hope that's how long it's been. Honestly, I can't keep track. I don't know about you guys, but it all feels like a big blur. Yeah. And then the other thing too, that I've learned for sure is like the pausing before speaking, pausing before eating, taking a moment and just instead of just, I was so compulsive and impulsive and just, I had this hero complex of just wanting to save the day and wanting to be the person that fixes others. And now to be able to like take a beat and ask my higher power for some guidance. And if I have the opportunity to actually like full out meditate or pray, like we did just now, that 10 minutes was beautiful and perfect for right before a lead. I'm so grateful that we got to do that. And it's just so beautiful that I don't have to do that anymore. And that I have a better self, a better sense of self and a better sense of like who I am and who I want to be. And, you know, that I'm not like showing up for other people or because I used to care so much about what other people think. And now it's just, this is enough. Who I am is enough. And yeah, so I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I hope someone's timing me. Let's see how much do I have? Oh, I could also talk about my sponsee family. We do a monthly sponsee family meeting where there's about like 15 of us. And it's basically my sponsor, my sponsees, their sponsees. And we all get together and we read whatever month we're in. So we're in the 11th month, we read step 11 and then we share on it. And depending on how many people there are, we divide the time up by that many people. So I definitely encourage you to, if you don't know who else your sponsors, it's like just a nice little way to have a smaller intimate community to be able to share that way. And it's the friendships that I've made in this program have really gotten me through a lot, honestly, talking through when I'm like really wanting to eat And knowing that, like, when I say something out loud, that holds me accountable, because I don't know, I think it's the people pleaser in me still, that like when I say it out loud for some reason, then I'll stick to it. So one of the things I like to do with either my sponsor or my fellows, saying kitchen's closed, because there is a point in the night where I'm not hungry, but I want to do something if I'm not ready for bed yet. And I want that soothing. I still go like to that. And so thankfully I don't take action on it. And that's something that my sponsor says, is you're not responsible for your first thought, but you are responsible for your second thought, because we're still compulsive overeaters at the end of the day. And I try not to beat myself up for still thinking about food in ways of entertainment or comfort or pleasure. But the fact that I don't take action on those thoughts is really like a huge game changer for sure. And then I love literature meetings too, for sure, because literature meetings, I feel like, just grounds us back into the program. And so that's why I like doing that with my sponsee family. Whenever I, even though I've read it all myself, whenever I hear it, if someone else is reading it, I sometimes hear it in a new way. Or if we're taking turns reading, I find that the paragraph that I land on ends up being something that I really needed to hear. And I'm getting closer with the big book. It was difficult in the beginning for me to relate to it, but I find that the literature meetings help bring it to life. I love the OA 12 and 12 and the two daily readers for today and Voices of Recovery. When I go to big book meetings, I like hearing people's personal anecdotes of how they relate to the stories, because then it makes it feel like, oh yeah, like this is all the same. I think maybe the mental switch of switching alcohol to food was like what was tripping me up, and some of the antiquated language. But like when I hear other people that share about it, then I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, I get that. This does apply to food for sure. And I'm just very grateful for the, I'm just going to take a second because I want to make sure that I'm saying everything concisely. I'm grateful for the ability to own my part. That's what step four really taught me. I'm working the steps a second time now, and I have two sponsees, so I'm also receiving their step work as well. That really helps me. Step four has been helping me own my part at work and like in so many other areas. That's the thing like about this program, is it's not just about the food. Like it helps us with our relationships and how we show up at work. And with owning my part, I am no longer just like putting the blame on everyone else or acting like a victim from like just circumstances of society or of my situation. Now I'm able to own my part and look at ways that I can improve, because that's the thing, is we never graduate. Even though I've worked all 12 steps, then I just start over again. And now I'm working them in the workbook. And that's a huge thing to be grateful for, to like always have room for improvement, because like we've never truly arrived, and I'm always learning new things about myself and my higher power. And working the steps a second time, it's been interesting seeing what still has shown up versus what has fallen off, what resentments I just don't have anymore since the first time I did it. And now this, the second time that I've done it, like what new ones have popped up or which ones have stuck around. And then also the difference this time too, that I appreciate, I'm doing it in the workbook where there's only 5 lines. And so I have to be really concise, because I can definitely like just go on and write like 20 pages, which was great the first time, because like I needed to go that deep. But now like my sponsor knows my whole story. She doesn't need to hear the backstory of, you know, everything now. And so by keeping it to 5 lines when I'm answering those questions, especially the step 4 questions, that's in what ways have I been selfish? In what ways have I been fearful? These tough questions that leave you feeling like, wow, did I just write a big list of all the reasons why I'm not a good person? But then at the end, it's like talking about your strengths and all of the things that you do bring to the table. It comes down to the serenity prayer for me in a lot of ways, especially at work. Okay, what can I change? What do I have the power to change? And what is just totally out of my hands? And then of course, the wisdom to know the difference. I feel like I'm a better person to work with, honestly, because I'm no longer in like crisis mode all of the time. Now I have tools, I have resources. And yeah, I'm really grateful to be here. I'm sorry, I don't know how much time I have left. Ella, do you know?
You still have about 5 minutes if you're
okay. Okay, cool. Yeah, I think part of my identity when I was growing up was also being like the yes person for all of like my friends wanting to go get takeout and stuff. Like when I was in college, like that was always my identity, is, oh, are you not feeling well? Do you want to go get Taco Bell? That was like kind of me. And to now still be able to have a loving relationship with food, but not in that way, has just been so great, because I do still really love food and I love cooking. That's like actually genuinely a passion of mine, that I love to cook healthy, loving, nourishing meals for my loved ones. If I do that for you, then I really love you kind of thing. And I'm glad that I can be around food and not be triggered to binge and to compulsive overeat, and to be able to see food now as fuel and nourishment rather than celebration or punishment or like these conditional things based on my personality or based on if I'm like good or bad. So being able to be around food and view it as just that, like that we need to eat three meals a day. And knowing that, because when I would skip a meal, I would be much more likely to binge. So that's why like having the three meals really keeps me on course, because I no longer get to the point where I'm like ravenous, like where I'm like so hungry, because I'm eating like at least three times, between three and five times a day. Sorry, I'm watching a dog and he has a squeaky toy, but hopefully you can't hear that in the background. And also I'll talk a little bit about that. I've been plant-based for 7 years now. So I've followed a vegan diet, and I went to see a nutritionist when I came into program to get a meal plan, because my sponsor is not vegan. And she was like, I, you know, can't give you like specific examples of like meal plan options, cause I don't have the experience of being vegan. And that was really helpful, seeing a nutritionist. I appreciated that she didn't weigh me, and it was more my success like with her 5 week little program was based on how satiated I feel after meals and how energized I feel throughout the day, not how much weight I lost or how, you know, many inches off of my waist. It was more that reframed how I viewed food, because no one had ever really taught me how to eat, not in the context of a diet, like not in the context of here's how to eat and lose 10 pounds in 2 weeks kind of thing. So definitely a little pitch for outside help. We don't have to do this alone. This is a WE program. We're not meant to do it alone. Get a sponsor if you haven't already. Reach out. I do 2 to 3 outreach calls a day. Just love this program. I love like everything that it has given me. And I'm just so grateful that my life is on a different trajectory now. And the last thing that I'll just say is that acceptance is the answer to all of my problems. And when I go into that mindset rather than the scarcity, that's where I experience like spiritual abundance. When I just practice acceptance, as difficult as it may be, that is where the promises really come true for me. And I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you guys for listening. I feel like I was all over the place, but thank you for holding space. And I'm so excited to hear your shares.